members of this community will be saddened to hear that Mr. Edwin C. Osborne, our former librarian, has had a fall and has broken his hip and is in intensive care unit in the hospital in Alabama, unconscious and with pneumonia. I know that you'll be saddened to hear this, and we'll want to remember Mr. and Mrs. Osborne in our prayers. Mr. Osborne has been in declining health for some time now, and this very tragic fall is difficult news indeed. Let us rise to worship God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. May God bless to our understanding the proclamation and the reading of his word. The Old Testament lesson is taken from the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. It is one of a sequence of lessons from both the Old and the New Testament, which are foundational to what I hope to say this morning and to what we all shall hope to say in this week when we are emphasizing in a very special way the call experience. I read a part of the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning to read at the very first verse. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here am I. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham put forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And to the reading of this Old Testament lesson, let me add now the reading of a New Testament lesson about another son in another time, but a son also who was not withheld, an only son, not withheld. Matthew, the 9th chapter, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as he sat at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, rather those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." May God bless to our understanding the reading of these ancient but contemporary lessons. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we praise Thee, we adore Thee, we glory in Thee, and we would magnify Thy name. Thou art our God, and God alike of all living creatures in this earth and beyond it, in whatever places Thou hast touched with Thy finger bringing life. We thank Thee that we know Thou art God, and we pray Thee to help us to share our good news. Thou art our Father, and Father alike of all Thy sons and daughters in faith, in Thy church and beyond it, wherever Thy children are faithful to the light Thou hast given them. We thank Thee that we are called to be children of light and not children of darkness, children who must show by their living their ancestry from Thee. We celebrate this morning, O Father, Thy call. Help us also to embrace that call even as we are by it embraced. Forgive us for keeping silent when Thou hast summoned us. Forgive us for staying when we should go. Forgive us for defining Thy call in our terms and for wanting to do Thy will our way. Forgive us for expecting Thee to do our work and for confusing our work with Thy work. Forgive us for profiting by honor that belongs only to Thee. Forgive us for claiming what is Thine as our own. Bring us this morning and this week into a new tumult and a new discomfort in our relationship with Thee by renewing in us the certain uncertainty that is the honor of Thy call. We pray Thee, Father, bless the fellowship of our community even beyond this place. And in particular, we ask Thy comfort upon Mr. Edwin C. Osborne, our former librarian in intensive care in Alabama. These petitions and the prayers also we pray now in the silence of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. the call came to Abraham as it had come before. Audible or inaudible is beside the point. It was real, persistent, plain, expecting. Avraham, he answered as he had answered before. Hineni, here I am. And then there came an awful call. Not the first of Abraham's calls from Yahweh, for Abraham's biography is both bordered and moved along by calls. Our first real glimpse of Abraham shows him responding to the call that cut him off from his past. There were many more calls that called out Abraham's faith. Then at last there was this one, this terrible one, this call that cut Abraham off from his future. Not alone the future he had dreamed with Sarah, his wife, but the only future he could imagine God ever to have dreamed. It is a wonderful and a terrible moment, a great many times reported in the Bible. Yaakov, Yaakov, Jacob, Jacob, Hineni, here I am. Moshe, Moshe, Hineni. Shemuel, Shemuel, Hineni. Et mi eshlach, who will go for us? Umi yelech lanu, and whom can be sent for us? Hineni, here I am. Shilacheni, send me. Well, it's a wonderful and a terrible moment, a great many times repeated since the Bible. It is a wonderful and a terrible moment that must come somehow to all who are his, and must have come somehow to everyone who is in this room. How otherwise can you possibly account for your being here this morning? I have thought much upon this wonderful and this terrible moment. I have thought upon it across many years now, and I have found myself remembering it as I have experienced it, as a moment that comes not once but many times. Allow me to confess two aspects about the moments that make up the moment in my own life. First of all, these moments are a continuum. They are an interrelated and successive sequence in a lifelong struggle of following. They make up a kind of process, both of encounter with God's presence and a process of response to it. I have come to think of it, as a matter of fact, as a process of call and call. A process of call and calling operating at two levels in my life. A second facet in my own experience, which I wish to confess, is that each of these moments and the overarching and undergirding movement all of them compose may best be described in my own experience more as a call to something than as a call from something. Now, I must say that my own experience has not conformed to the pattern of call laid down in most of the sermons and pastoral chats, hymns and stirring anthems I have heard. There, the call is represented as a kind of once and for all role for double or nothing by God. After some weeks or months or even years of effort on God's part, during which the reluctant servant is begged, lured, shaken, and scared into compliance, and during which softening up process the rest of us and the rest of creation must apparently muddle through on our own without God's help, because he's so busy trying to call somebody who's reluctant, there comes a blazing, transcendent moment of victory for God. That moment of victory for God is usually described with some cheekiness about how long the divine attack took. about how long God was kept a-courting, and about how long it took the moment of, quote, surrender to the call to come. And that moment finally come is described with confessions of postponed relief and multiple angelic choruses of I surrender all and something for thee played out against a canned accompaniment on a cassette tape. The call thus achieved by God and thus received by the callee is immediately chiseled, or perhaps I should say fossilized, in stone. It is made more specific with each specific recounting, each successive recounting, and each time the tale is told, God seems a little luckier than he did the last time. But once the call has come, it need come never no more. It is done and God is stuck, and it may serve him right for messing with and messing up a good old boy or a good old girl. There are no questions to be asked about such a call as that. It is once and for all and forever. Though in result of it, how big, how much, and when, and sometimes how long, O Lord, may seem appropriate. Such a call is not only once and for all, it is generally from more than it is to, partly because to can somehow be seen only through the lens of from. A church in the suburbs, Lord, with a new building paid for, with a hard-working staff, with men who love the preacher, with 800 to 1,000 members, a housing allowance instead of a parsonage, and so on and so forth. You know the scenario. Many of you wrote it. It goes on to say, you called me, Lord. You know what I could have made in the business world. You know how high I could have risen in the government, but I surrendered all to you, and you owe me, Lord. And the response is not, as it so often is in the Bible, Hineni, here I am, but rather, here is where I want to be, and here is where I ought to be. Lord, why do we have to mess with Dorman and Lee? No, my own call has not been like that. And I wonder really if anybody's has, in spite of all we hear. The biblical picture of call is a picture not of a moment, but of many moments. The biblical picture of call is a chronicle not of attack and surrender, but of a process, a lifelong process, a process to which every single moment is an important component to be received and savored and stored against and for what is yet to be. Yahweh had to keep on calling Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Gideon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Peter and Paul. He had to keep on calling them because for the most part they didn't want to go. And the word of the Lord came yet again to Jeremiah or to Isaiah, saying, he called them, and he called them again and over again. He called them to himself, first of all, as he calls every man and woman. And then, having called them to himself, he called them to his tasks. His tasks, not their vision of what his tasks ought to be, tasks in conformity with what they wanted to do, tasks in conformity with what they felt comfortable with. Some of these calls to task they refused. Some of them they took and failed. But some of them they received and did. And he rejoiced. And so he calls us. Has called, but more calls. He calls us, first of all, to himself. And there begins a lifelong struggle to be as he is. And then he calls us also to his tasks, every one of which is important. every one of which is an end in itself because he has called us to it. One of these tasks is preparation. Preparation for other tasks that are yet to come. Preparation that is so important that while you are at it, it is an end in itself. I do not believe, since he has called us to it, that we can think of what we do here at Southeastern Seminary as nothing more than a stair step or even an obstacle on the way somewhere. This is somewhere. This is God's somewhere for us, for this community right now. And to give it anything less than the best we have is cheating. Not only cheating our God and ourselves, but all the rest of our ministry and all those to whom we will ever be called to minister. At this moment, in your time, your call is right here. Fix your eyes on it and throw yourself into it. That means struggle. That means more questions than answers. That means a process, not an arrival. The voice came to Abraham and to Jacob and to Moses and to Samuel. That voice came also to Matthew, same voice in a different form. And to him it said, not Matthew, Matthew, but follow me. Later it said, this same voice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And I think of us and our community here, and I look about this room, and I look beyond this room, and I'm prompted to say, Lord, have you ever come to the right place? If it's sinners you want, we are here in great number. And I feel as I read these wonderful texts, rising in my own throat, the word, Hineni, here I am, sinner of sinners, somehow called to you and to your task and reluctantly willing to go. But before I can get that Hineni out, I hear something else. I hear the voice that said, Abraham. I hear the voice that said, Moses, Moses. I hear the voice that said, follow me, to Matthew. But this time, this is the voice that is saying, Hineni, here am I. Listen. Listen to that voice. I opened myself to teach to those who have no questions. I made myself available to those who did not bother to seek me out. I said, Hineni, Hineni, here I am, here I am. But to a people who did not call out to my presence. God forbid that we should be so set on our vision of call that we overlook altogether to hear his call in this place. Our hymn is the hymn numbered 358, A Charge to Keep I Have. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you in the center of his call and in the tumult of his work. In Jesus' name, amen.